Hey, let's go to our good friend. He is one of the stars on KNBR. You've heard of the Gary Radnitz Show with Larry Krueger. This is the with Larry Krueger guy. Larry Krueger, how are you?
Marty, doing fantastic. Just happy to hear you today.
Yeah, boy, come on. In a game six tomorrow, and I commend you for, you know, taking on the world yesterday and saying that Zito could get it done and bring it back here for a game six.
Well, you know, I mean, you either had to believe or not believe, and I chose to believe. But I also saw in that Cincinnati game, I really thought the guy got squeezed a little bit. And I do believe that it's important that, you know, what's your record? What's the team's record in the games that you start? I think that's kind of an underrated way of looking at things. And the reality is that the San Francisco Giants have not lost a baseball game that Barry Zito has started since August 2nd, and we're closer to November 2nd. So, you know, I think that means something.
Yeah, now let's look ahead a little bit. And he gets the job done. And, you know, I said when I opened the show today, you have to play two perfect games of baseball now. There's no room to give up two in the second and two in the fourth, you know, and say, all right, well, it's going to be 4-3. I mean, you've got to play two perfect games of baseball to win this thing.
Well, there's no question. And I don't know if they have to play perfect games, but they have to. This Cardinal team is really, really tough. And they're a resilient bunch. And they're the defending World Series champions. And they're not going down easy. And just because it's going back to San Francisco hardly means this thing's a walk in the park. This is going to be two really, really tough games. And you know, I feel like the Giants are in decent position, but there's no reason to feel confident at this point. Not yet.
Well, pitching determines it. You know, when you're down 3-1, and there's been so many series where I've seen teams down 3-1, and I'd say to myself, boy, if they just win this one, you've got two great pitchers coming back. And kind of the Giants are in that position. They do have two guys who it wouldn't shock you to see them both go out and go six or seven innings against the Cardinals.
No, Marty, you couldn't draw it up better. This is the way you want it, right? Vogelsong has found himself, and he's going to be locked in from the first pitch. And let's face it, if he can get that win, then now you feel a little bit more confident. Now you've got your guy. You know, what were you saying at the end of the last series? You're saying, hey, you know what? You got to have your guy at the end.
Right.
Well, here they are. If they win game six, they're going to have their guy, Matt Cain, at the end, ready to lock it down at home. And if you win, you win. If you lose, you go home. I mean, I think you can live with it at that point.
You know, I said yesterday, and the Cardinals were kind of fooling around in the dugout. Wainwright was jumping around, and, you know, of course the dugout is, you know, generally when you're up 3-1, you're going to be fairly loose. But they had the Cincinnati Reds look to me, like the Giants, man, we'll finish them off now, even though they had their bags packed to come back. They were pretty pretty confident last night. Now, my question is this. If I'm Matheny, I'm turning this thing into a five-inning game now. I'm not even saying six and then I'll bring in the big boys. I'm bringing them in. If I'm up 4-2 in the fifth, I'm bringing the big arms in the fifth inning. I think that's what the Giants have to watch out for.
Absolutely. I mean, it was interesting. I think you're right. I think Matheny showed a little bit of his newness, of his youth as a manager in the last game. You know, the playoffs, it's a lot about seizing the opportunity early. And he's got such an overwhelming bullpen that I expect him to be extremely aggressive if his starter doesn't have it. And Carpenter's not the same Carpenter that we think of. And if he pitches the way he pitched last time, I think he's very beatable.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as I said, Wainwright's going to have a part in this thing in Game 7. If there is a Game 7, you've got Loesch. I'll guarantee you Wainwright has a part of Game 7.
And that's a good situation for the Giants as well, because look at his home and road splits. You know, he's a different guy on the road this year. He's not the same guy as we've seen in the past. So, bring him on at this point. I mean, he looked good last time. If he can get, he's like Zito. If he can throw that curveball for strikes, he becomes a very, very tough customer.
Wow.
And he did in the last time out.
You're a good historian of San Francisco Giants baseball. You really are. Put this season in some perspective for me in San Francisco Giants baseball history. And I realize the story's not finished yet. But how about the way this whole thing has unfolded, the comebacks and everything else? And, you know, we're so used to Giant baseball kind of working out, you know, when they're good, they're good. It's not like overcoming adversity all the time and becoming good. Give me some perspective on this year.
Well, I mean, I think this year is a lot about the Bruce Bochy and a lot about the benefits of continuity within an organization. I mean, I think that's really, to me, the two themes that really jump out. I mean, this thing has been helter-skelter all the way along. They lost Brian Wilson early on. Then the Guillermo Mota thing hits. You know, then they lose Pablo Sandoval to the DL. You know, and they wind up not getting Freddie Sanchez coming back and the disappointment of that. And, you know, then watching the Dodgers explode and needing an even-keeled hand, you know, to kind of keep things in order. And I think this organization, you know, the continuity that they have on all the different levels, and you and I have talked about this, in the front office, on the training staff, on the coaching staff, on the medical staff, I think that makes for a group of people that doesn't panic under adversity. And then I think this is one of Bochy's best managing efforts for the almost the exact same reason. And so, you know, where does this team compare to 02 and 2010? And, you know, it's hard to say. It really is hard to say. I mean, it's in a way, it's a confusing team because yes, they struggled to win at home and they haven't hit at home. And then the whole Melky thing, you know, obviously is a big part of this year. But to me, the two things that really stand out, it's one of Bochy's incredible managing efforts. And Sabian couldn't have been better as far as the pickups with Scudero and Maharis and Pence and kind of riding the ship and adding some guys midseason. And I think this is an organization that knows itself very well. I mean, these guys, they all know each other, and I think that enabled them to kind of circle the wagons and not panic and stay poised and make a big push. You know, I think Bochy had a big speech right before they went to Colorado in that final push of the pennant stretch, and, you know, this is go time. I think he put the pedal to the metal. I think he managed it perfectly. And if there was one factor, Marty, it was Bochy outmanaged Mattingly. Yeah. And he really did. I think he really understood. He understood this as a race. He understood when to go to the whip, so to speak, like a jockey goes to a whip in a horse race.
Yeah.
And I think he played it perfectly.
Yeah, and I think Wotus and Rigetti and Bochy and Flanagan, just the whole staff, I think they put it together. They understand playoff baseball better than Dusty's staff did. I really mean that. And with all due respect to Dusty, and I love him, he's a very well-accomplished manager, and he's done so many great things. But I just think I've watched Bochy now carefully for a couple of years in this time of year, and I like what he's doing against the Cardinals, the way he's handling it. He can't stop it if you bring in the power arms and you got to deal with it. And I just think this guy understands October baseball, and if he's got you down 3-1, he's not letting you up. And that's just my feeling about it. I think these other guys let you up.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great point. I think the other thing that I'll point to in comparison to some of the teams I've seen, you know, in 2010 and in 2002, let's just take the last couple of Cubs that made it to the World Series. We can talk pitching all you want, but, man, you really need 8 tough outs. You don't need 8 stars. You don't need 8 power hitters. You don't need 8 guys who are going to the All-Star game. You just need 8 tough outs. And I thought the previous caller and you talking about the bottom of the lineup, you know, really is appropriate. I mean, the Giants' bottom of the lineup of Blanco and Belt and Crawford, I would venture a guess, see more pitches than almost every other team's bottom of the lineup in the entire league. They see pitches. They're tough at-bats. The Giants in this series against the Cardinals, Marty, have scored 20 runs in 5 games. 12 of those runs have come in 3 innings. All 3 innings were involved. The bottom of the lineup was right smack dab in the middle of it.
No, I agree.
So, to me, that's the key. If there's a key to the next, the Giants don't score. They don't consistently pressure you. They're not like the Red Sox in 04 and 07 or the Yankees under Torrey where it's just constant pressure and the games go forever. They fire big innings. They've had 3 4-run innings in this series. All 3 of them have been fueled by the bottom of their lineup either coming through with big hits or walks. Blanco's been in the midst of all of it. So to me, that and the acquisition of Scudero, the reemergence of Pagan once he went into the leadoff hole, gave this lineup, as Sabian like to say, length. You got the MVP and Sandoval and Pence in the middle, but then once you added Scudero and you got a hot Pagan at the top. Now you're locked in there. And then the bottom of the lineup has given the Giants and Bochy really, really good, hard-fought at-bats. And that means the line keeps moving for the most part, and the Giants' lineup becomes tough to navigate.
Yeah, and they're beating starters. They got those big innings against Carpenter, against Lynn twice. They did it against Leak. They did it against Latos. The one game against Bailey was 1-1, but the big innings have been taking care of starters, and the managers have let those starters get into innings and get away, and I think that's going to be the key for me in Game 6 and 7 to see if the Giants get that rolling, how quickly Matheny goes to the pen, and that'll be my key to watch that. Hey, Larry, thanks so much.
All right, Marty, and hey, you know, all this talk about the Cardinal pen, let's not forget, you know, at the end of this thing, I wouldn't be surprised if we're talking about the Giant pen.
Oh, of course.
Because Affelt, Casilla, Lopez, Maharas, Romo, Contos, for the most part, these
guys
are just flat
out locked
in.
You can stop right there. You can stop right there. But I will tell you this, and again, Bochy gets it, and that's why he needs the bridge. I call Lincecum the Golden Gate Bridge. He needs that bridge to those guys. So yesterday we said Zito 4 or 5, then the bridge to the guys and let them take it from there. Same thing with Vogelsong. If he could get it to 5 or 6, the little bridge to the committee and take it from there. And this is what playoff baseball, it's the way you got to manage it. So, no, they're a big part of it. And when they win, those guys are in the middle of it because people don't go 9 anymore, and that's the only way you can win a game.
And one last thing on Zito, bowling balls. Bowling balls. The guy showed up and pitched huge in his biggest start as a Giant. And man, I was sitting there last night, and Kruko said it was his, like, one of his favorite games to watch ever. I'm just glad I DVR'd that thing because, you know, I watched it again last night, and just watching him paint corners and change speeds and really pitch, man, it was a thing of beauty.
Yeah, watch how many times he shook off Posey, though, in critical situations. And he pitched his game, and it was fabulous, and everyone liked the hat. After the game, I got someone following me now on Twitter, Zito's Fedora. I got that. That's somebody. Somebody's following me there. Hey, Larry, have a good afternoon, and always a pleasure, and I really enjoy listening to you guys in the morning.
All right, Marty. We're glad to hear you today. Have a great one, and go Giants.
All right. Take care. All right. That is the great Larry Krueger from the Gary Radnitz Show with Larry Krueger. All right. 808 KMBR.